If you would please stand and get your hymn book, and we'll turn to hymn number 54. A blessed Savior with heart and with voice. Tell him how we come to love him and make him our choice. That will be a glad reunion day. Beholding his face, it will seem just a moment of praising his grace. That will be a glad reunion day.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't lose nothing in Chicago. And Carl's son Bucky texted me. He said, "Pray for me. I'm flying out today." At the same time, I was landing. I said, "Well, good luck." You know, Greg told me, of course, Chris says that was only one time, but Greg says every time he flies into Casper, he gets stuck. Well, I don't remember him telling me that, but it came true. I got stuck going into Denver. You know, out there it doesn't even rain, and it wasn't a drop. But on Saturday it rained in Denver, enough to knock that whole flight out. And then some other plane hit a bird, so that caused a problem. You know, and man, I tried like crazy to get home. I even tried to fly to Atlanta, and then I thought, well, maybe if I could, there was a flight landing in Atlanta at 2, but I missed it. But then I would have to drive from Atlanta to here. That would have been a long haul. But anyway, it worked out. And Brother Creston, I heard, did a good job this morning. Yes. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful for Kermit and Kevin. Both said they'd have covered me if they weren't already. Kevin had every one of the guys that can preach in his church busy, or else he would have come. But the Lord knew, and Jamie's brother said he got a real blessing out of that, felt like. that message was for him today, and that's just what we have to trust. And Sean said a young man that got saved last week was here this morning and wanting to get baptized. And how old is he, Sean? 16. For a 16-year-old young man to follow that through, Sean and I are going to go visit him and maybe set that up for this Sunday. You pray for him. That's pretty encouraging that he'd want to do that. And then, Miss Violet, it's Tuesday night at Fairview Baptist Church at 7 o'clock. They're going to have a special prayer for Rosemary there, and they're going to anoint her with oil. So they said anybody from our church is welcome. Oh, I saw your mom there. I didn't even see you. But they're going to do that on Tuesday, and we certainly will be praying for that. And then Miss Jill said, so homecoming is this Sunday. So, I mean, for me, I'm just used to calling it dinner on the grounds, right? That'll be this Sunday. The bulletin said to bring, help me with that announcement, would you? Okay, so if the ladies or guys, if you want to cook, have at it, but we just need side dishes and desserts for that, and we'll just go ahead and keep it our regular schedule. We'll do Sunday school at 10 and the morning service at 11, and then right after that, we'll just have a brief evening service. I mean, we'll just take maybe 30 minutes after that and have an evening service after that. I know there's some cleanup we could all pitch in, so it'll be right after we get done eating, we'll go right into a quick evening service. I think it's where I'm from up north, you don't have a whole lot of homecomings. We've really never been around that, but I think history is important. You know, like all over the United States, we remembered 9/11, right? And the heritage of a church that's been here as long as this church has been here. I mean, there's people that can. Did you get married in this church, Lloyd? Did you get married in this church? No. Arnold, did you get married in this? Who got married in this church? If you're here, Obi, you got married in this church. That's a long time ago. Well, if you got married in this church, raise your hand. Well, that's pretty cool. There's a lot of history in that. You know, a good testimony. The heritage of the Cecil family in ministry for all those years, and the other ones that were pastors. And didn't you have somebody related to you, Obi, that was a pastor before them? Yeah. So, and that's just kind of a time to remember that, and also to look forward to the future of being able to, have a place that's solid in the Word, preaches the gospel for years to come for the next generation, and we'll do that this Sunday. Have a good time of fellowship. We can branch out outside if we need to stretch out. You just keep praying for folks as they. I know Randy is navigating COVID, and then Frida's son and daughter are both in the hospital navigating COVID. So just pray for them. I know that her son's also got some health issues with battling cancer. So that's a hard thing to go through and have COVID on top of that. So just keep them in your prayers. And I think that's all the announcements that I have, Brother Ron.
All right, if you'd please stand again, our brother deacons come forth to receive an offering, and turn your hymn book to number 47. Brother Arnold, would you ask place on the offering, please?
Just be with me for a minute. Okay. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that He watches me. And I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that He watches me.
Amen.
Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that He watches me.
Amen.
I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give way to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that He watches me.
Amen.
I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that He watches me.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us tonight. If you have your Bibles, if you turn to the book of Ruth, we'll start there this evening. Also, we have Bible study on Monday night. Brother Sean, what chapter? We're going into chapter 3. And that'll be on Monday night if you'd like to join us. Anybody's welcome for that. Ruth chapter 1. And what I want to share with you this evening is just something that's been on my heart. Just as you navigate this world and you think about the fact that it's not our home, right? And I think that it was more of our home 50 years ago than it is today. Of course, I was 2 years old 50 years ago. It just seems like, there's just so much worldliness out there, and we all have to navigate that. And then not only do you have to deal with that, then you got to deal with the fact that you're in a body that is heading one direction, and that's to the grave. You got to deal with that. And you got to deal with the people around you going through those same things, right? We have an enemy. That certainly does not make it any easier. But I really believe that the Bible's real. And I know you would say, well, I would hope so. You're the preacher, right? if I'm down, that'd be a problem. But how much do you really believe that it's really real? Like, can God really do anything? I mean, do you believe he can do anything? I was talking today with Lee. He picked me up at the airport just about creation. And, when it says that God created the world in 6 days, I actually believe Amen. That's what he did.
Amen.
I have zero problem in believing he could have done it in 1 second. It wouldn't have taken 6 days. We'll have to ask him in heaven why he did 6 days. It's also very clear because when he said he made the world in 6 days, when he was setting up the week for the children of Israel, he said this: as I worked 6 days and rested the seventh, that's what I want you to do. So it was very obvious that the Lord was dealing with things of like apples to apples and oranges to oranges. He was doing a comparison that fit. I mean, I honestly believe, absolutely believe he can do that. I believe that God can still fix anything.
Amen.
Do you believe that? I don't believe you can be too stuck, too backslidden, too hurt, too burdened, too overwhelmed, too sad, whatever you want to add to that. Whatever, and believe me, I could start over here with Matt and go all the way through this whole, there would be stories. I think people are fascinating, especially once you begin to take the time to understand their story. And I don't mean to embarrass him, but Obi, last year when he shared just a little bit of his heart, and then Brother Carl did the same thing about their experiences in the military. I mean, I had people come up afterwards and just say, what a blessing that was. For just a moment, we got to feel what it was like to walk in those shoes during that time and the road that you walked, right? And God helps you with that. And we could, everybody in this room has stories. Everybody in this room has pain from the world that we live in. Everybody has things that you are praying about or should be praying about. But do you really believe that when you go to God, that he can help you? I mean, do you really believe that? I believe that God is still in the business of taking a story that is bad and giving it a happy ending. And I believe that anybody in this room that needs a happy ending can find it in this book. No matter what it is, you can find it in this book. You know, and I just want to look at Ruth. Let's pray here really quick. Father, thank you for this evening, and thank you for the Bible, and I pray that you'd help us, Lord, that you would encourage us and just strengthen the fact that, Lord, that this is true. Lord, you've done it so many times in the Bible, and you haven't quit doing it. It's available for us today, and Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to wrap our hearts and minds around that, and you would give us the strength to be able to function in this world. And Lord, just to have a good testimony, and Lord, just to live for you like we ought to in a day and age when it's getting harder to do so with the world increasing the way it is. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to see that you're still a God of happy endings. Lord, we love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And I know immediately what'll come. All right, what if somebody dies? You say, all right, Pastor, how do you turn a happy ending out of that? I mean, so what if you find out you have cancer? And maybe God doesn't cure you. How do you get a happy ending out of that? Remember, I was telling you, Kevin mentioned that somebody in his neighborhood called him and or wrote him anonymously and said they were bothered by the sign that he stuck out in his yard. And it was one of those signs from Randy that said, everybody has a problem that no one can fix but God. Well, somebody in that neighborhood wrote Kevin a letter and asked him to take that down, and here's what they said. They said, because they had a problem that God couldn't fix and didn't fix, and it bothered them to be reminded of it on a daily basis. I would tell you that that's not true. I promise you, no matter, and I'm going to show you tonight, no matter what it is, you can bring it to God, and God can do something with that ending that you would not expect. So here's somebody here in the story of Ruth. You know, Ruth was a pagan. Ruth did not believe in God. She worshiped false idols. All of a sudden, in her neighborhood came a family. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the names of his wife, Naomi, and the names of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left and her two sons. Then they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now, you would say, that's a bad story, okay? You know, you can say a long time ago in a land far, far away, and you can tell that story. Here's a family from Israel that moved out of Israel because of a famine. They thought they would be better in this land, but this land was a pagan land. So they show up. They've got two sons. They marry girls in that community. Well, because they shouldn't have left to begin with, you know, and it's very evident in Naomi's life that she understands, and she took responsibility for some of that, you know, because of the decisions that were made to move. So when they got there, you know, her husband dies. That's a bad story. Could you imagine? You're away from your home. You're away from your people. That's not even where you grew up, and your husband's dead. So then you got to try to get used to that and figure out a way to make ends meet. Now you're a widow, but it's okay. You have two sons, and they're pitching in and they're helping. And then all of a sudden, one by one, they both die. So they're stuck in a foreign land. She lost her husband, she lost her kids, and you would say, how is that get any better for her? Well, you know the story. It gets really good for her because she took her story to the Lord and let him do something with that. And you would say, hey, there's nothing but heartache. There's nothing but sorrow. But she took it to the Lord. You know what she did? The first thing she did in any these stories that were mentioned tonight, it's not magic. Right? We're not asking God to do magic. It's his word and it's who he is. And that you can count on. See, it's not only just the simple fact of taking it to God, whatever that is. And maybe it's a dream that you have. Maybe it's a goal that you have. You know, you wrap that goal around the will of God, and may I tell you something? I promise you, God said he'd give you the desires of your heart. Man. Either that or he lied, right? So a young person could take their dreams, and they can take it to God, and they can say, God, here you go. I'm gonna do what I know to do on my end of this, and I'm gonna align my desires with the word of God, and I'm going to trust you with the rest of the story. So in this story, what does she do? Immediately she goes back to her homeland, which is back to the Lord. She goes back to Bethel. She gets around an area that honors God. She gets around the people of God. That's the first thing she does. And that's the beginning of that story's happy ending. Not only is she going to do that, okay, but there's a really key factor. God's going to bless Naomi through an unlikely person. And that is Ruth. Amen. See, Ruth doesn't want to stay because she's got a story that doesn't have a happy ending at this moment. Her husband's dead. They're broke. They're reduced to begging. She goes back home to her homeland. She doesn't own any property anymore. It's all wrapped up with the other side of the family and the kinsman redeemer and that whole thing. So they go back home, but when they go to do that, Ruth doesn't want to stay. Now, Orpah, we don't know what happened to her. As far as I know, doesn't have the same ending. She had the opportunity to make Naomi's God her God, but she didn't. Ruth, however, took her pain and said, I believe that there is a God out there that can do something with this story. And she told Naomi, wherever you're going, I'm going. Amen. Your God is going to be my God. I'm not going to serve those pagan gods anymore. I'm not going to get wrapped up in that lifestyle I used to have. I'm going to follow you. And you know what's beautiful? Ruth did that before the happy ending. Ruth did that before her needs were met. Ruth did that before God blessed her. She did that because she realized she needed what God offered. Number one, payment for her sins. Okay? Number two, she knew that he was real. And that she knew that by following him, although she couldn't narrate the story from you know, without having lived it, she knew that that's what she needed to do. So they moved back home, and she's having to go out and collect food in the field that's left over from the reapers, and that was designed for poor people. And you can read that story. She goes there, and you know what? She runs into Boaz. Now, how does that happen? Because God said, hey, you give me that heartache, I'll help you smile. I can do something with that pain. I can make it beautiful. Man. I can change the story. And I can make it something that not only causes you to smile, but will also tell the world about me. How many times did this story, and it's a beautiful picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Well, she meets Boaz, and then Boaz just happens to be her kinsman redeemer. Now, what's the odds in that happening? When you put God in the story, that's nothing. You know, he created the world. He said, do you believe? He said, let there be light. And that sun popped into existence. I mean, there was a void of darkness, and all of a sudden, with just a single word, the whole universe lit up, not only with that light, but thousands and thousands of thousands of light. Do you believe that?
Amen.
If you believe that, then certainly we can take our lives and our story, our brokenness, our humanity, and we can take it to God and believe He's not the one that's broken. We are. We're the one that's going to hold the story back, not Him. Because believe me, if he could put that son in that in where it is today, and I'm very, very thankful for that son in the wintertime. I'm glad it hasn't. Do you have the thing about this? Do you know it's a star? All stars burn out. There's going to be a real big problem one day. But we'll be in heaven when that happens, right? Amen. You know, God's got all that in control. Well, certainly. Certainly you can take your life and you can put it in His hands. And He's able to give it a happy ending. Because not only did she get remarried, but Naomi's finances were taken care of. She got her property back. She also had a happy ending. Why? And here's what she said about it. If you read just a little bit over to, in verse 10 of chapter 2, I'll just read what she said after she realized what was happening with Boaz. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not. Hitherto the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, unto whose wings thou art come to trust." Man, that's beautiful. She listen to what she says. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes?" You know, that's what we do when we come to God. Why would God even care about my story? Why would God even care about me? And we come to Him and say, "Why have I even found grace in your eyes?" And to realize this, it's His wings we've come to trust. So you can take that story and you can say, okay, that was a mess, happy ending. Now what about this one? This one's a little bit, I was just reading this today, coming back on the airplane, in Genesis chapter 4. So we know the whole story of Adam and Eve. Bad story. A long time ago in a land far, far away lived two people that made a really bad decision. They didn't trust God. God said, "Don't eat that tree." They ate it. That was a bad choice. That created a terrible story. I mean, they actually ruined paradise. What was that book in college I had to read? John Milton wrote it. It was Paradise Lost. And then he wrote Paradise Regained. A beautiful story. A little bit difficult to read because it's in Old English. But cool story. Well, they ruined paradise. You can't get more messed up than that. They didn't have to work. They didn't know what sin was. God took care of every need they possibly could have. All of a sudden, one day, one decision, and the story takes a turn. They're hiding in the garden from the very person that they walked with every day. They're naked, they're scared, and not only did they do that to themselves, but they plunged all, do you know what they did to all of us that day? Not only was it their problem, but now it becomes my problem. I'm part of the story. It involved my life on that decision. And now you think, we know how that became a good story, but have you ever thought about Eve personally? You ever thought about how does she ever talk to God again after what she did in that garden? I mean, people are in hell because of that one decision. Well, everybody has a choice to make after that, but that didn't help any, for sure. And you talk about, you don't think she was depressed Can you imagine? Could you imagine the conversation, those of us that are married, can you imagine the conversation that you have after you are being evicted out of your house? And the game blame begins. Well, you shouldn't have ate the tree. Well, you shouldn't have gave it to me. You know, there's a little bit of arguing when they're cold and hungry, and the ground all of a sudden is fighting back at them. And you don't think they're a little bit depressed when they can walk by the garden? They can still see the angel outside of the garden. They can't go in. You don't think that weighed on them? You don't think that maybe Eve felt like God wouldn't want to talk to her again? That God wouldn't care? That maybe she's crossed the line? Let me show you something. I thought this was really neat. In Genesis chapter 4, in verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. You know what that tells me right there? That God and her had a restored relationship. She wasn't afraid of God anymore there, Sean. She was saying, thank you for giving me a man-child. The very person that had to evict her. And you would think, I promise you, God had to evict them, but God didn't leave them. I mean, God watched over them every day. Made sure they were all right. And I just love finding that little verse there, just a little bit into Eve's life. And here she is, thanking God for that child. Not only that, but if you'll read just a little bit more in chapter 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So here again, she's giving credit to God. She's saying, she's talking about God being somebody that she loves, God being somebody that cares about her, God being somebody that took a bad story. Here they got kicked out of the garden, but God gives her a son. Then one of your sons murders the other one. Now the story goes, whoop. Well, how do you get a happy ending out of that? Well, the one that died's in heaven. Can you imagine being the first person to ever leave this earth and spend eternity with the Lord? That's pretty cool. So he's okay, right? You know what? God came back to that young lady. You talk about pain in her life already. He said, "Eve, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to give you another son." You know what she did? She took time right here. But listen, I promise you, she wouldn't eat that tree. Not now. That very same person who she didn't trust earlier, now she's trusting him. She turned her story over to him. Not only did that happen, but what about our ending? You know, on that day when she ate that tree, the whole world plunged into sin. I mean, do you ever think about hell for just a second? Does it ever scare you? I mean, I want nothing to do with that. I mean, a place that's designed for torment for the devil and his angels, not for a human being. Which shows you that wasn't the story God had in mind. But it became our story. And you talk about a mess. And then you have God's only son. He has to die. Another bad story. But out of his death, my story changes. And I get a happy ending.
Amen.
I don't have to go to hell. Why? Because God changed that ending for me. I didn't do it, couldn't do it. But the same God, you talk about a problem. All of humanity doomed to hell. and God fixed it. God made it so nobody has to go there. You talk about a bad story being, you're nailed to the cross next to Jesus because you're a thief. You've been sentenced to death for your crimes. You have not been to church, maybe not even ever. You've heard about Jesus. Your friend certainly isn't buying it. He's over there swearing and yelling and screaming and angry and mad at everybody. One guy was seconds away from eternity in hell, and he gave God his story, and he got a happy ending. Is that not cool? I mean, had that other thief died, do you understand? He got saved seconds before he died. Now, okay, maybe not. So let's say an hour. You know, I wasn't there with a stopwatch, but you can tell the timeline. It was within a small amount of time he was that close. So that means anybody today that's here that has never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your story does not have a happy ending. It ends in hell. You may even live better than I do. You may be even a better person than I am. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your story doesn't end well. Do you know somebody like David, who committed adultery and murdered somebody, his story ends well. You maybe never did one of those two things, but you're born a sinner. And you might look and say, well, I'm not that bad. But what you are is guilty enough to spend eternity in hell. And if you don't give God your story, it doesn't get a happy ending. I know no matter how many funerals that I go to, I've never heard anybody get up there and say, yep, he's in hell. Because you try not to do that. What you do is you go to the family and you search. And you search. And you pray, give me something I can hang on to. But man, I tell you something, it's beautiful when the person that dies leaves you a home run. A story that I can repeat the day they got saved. That's easy. That's an easy funeral to do. Why? Because I get to talk about a happy ending. Yeah, there's a body down there. You can't ignore it. Sitting right in front of that pulpit every time. And you say, well, what's good about that? Because they're not there. They're in heaven. And I believe that. A happy ending. You know, you can, David, even what David did in Psalms chapter 51, he cries out to God and he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil. And I say, I mean, you talk about the gossip in that kingdom. Did you hear about Bathsheba? She's pregnant. Well, who's the father? What's the king? What happened to the husband? Well, he died in battle, but it's really suspicious. They were winning, and all of a sudden, and then that just starts spreading all over the place and people talking. And you talk about how do you fix that, right? And here's this giant killer, got a messed up story. But that giant killer took his story and gave it to the Lord. And I believe with all my heart that God can still do anything. But in all of these stories, it's not magic. It's when you and I align ourselves with that Bible and do what it says. When we trust what it says. Do you know that one of the few people in the Bible that I can't find hardly any dirt on? Is Daniel. I mean, it's difficult. You know, Daniel was kidnapped. Family killed. Would you say that's a bad story? Well, sure. You know, he was never married, never had kids. Right? You know, I got thinking about this today. There was one reason that the temptation in his life was a little different than other people's temptation. Do you know what it was? He was made a eunuch. No choice. Well, so I guess you could say he didn't have to worry about working on a marriage. Never got married. There were things that did not drag him down that would drag down other men. And you could look and say, poor Daniel never had a family. Or you could look and say, I can't find hardly any dirt on that guy. Because God still took a story and made it beautiful. In what we would look at as bad, God said, you know what, Daniel? You didn't choose to not have a family. But I'm going to help you use that for good. I'm going to help you use that time to focus on me and be single-minded the way Paul talked in the New Testament. And boy, what a good testimony he had. And maybe you sit down and talk to him and you say, do you ever feel like God was unfair to you, Daniel? I mean, you're other people got married, other people had families, you didn't have one, you know what I tell you? He wouldn't change that for one second. Because with it came a happy ending. Same way with Johnny. Remember Johnny Erickson Tata, the one that she was diving and got paralyzed. When you read her book, you know what she says? She said she would not change that day she jumped in that pond. She wouldn't change it, Lloyd. She would still stand there and dive into that pond, even knowing what would happen. Because through that journey, have you ever seen it? You know, she paints with her mouth. Right, Arnold, you're a painter. Could you imagine what it would look like if you had to do it with your mouth? Right? I mean, you talk about, I can't even do a stick figure. This woman in a wheelchair, she paints beautiful pictures with her mouth. I mean, like award-winning, beautiful stuff. God's used her all over the world. And you know what she said? She said this. She said, I would not know God if it wasn't for that wheelchair. And what God did, God turned that terrible story. Can you imagine a family crying? What a beautiful young lady stuck at a young age. Got her whole life ahead of her and she can't walk. And the family thinking, well, where's God? Where's the happy ending to this? How does this turn out good? Because God can hang the stars on nothing. He can create happy endings in places we can't. You know? And again, it's not magic. And he's never going to let you down. It might not be the way you would write it. But at the end, you will smile. We can go on and on and on and on through the Bible in the difference with Abraham. I mean, God tells him to take his son, go up there and sacrifice on the mountain. How are you going to explain that to your wife? What? Can you imagine if he actually did that? You don't think, I mean, there's already tension in the home. And you just took this baby and you just killed him on top of that mountain? Here's what Abraham did. Abraham believed that the God that hung the stars can figure it out. And here's what he said as he was going up that mountain. His son, Isaac, said, hey, Dad, we're missing something. Where's the lamb? You know what Abraham then said? I don't know how, but there's going to be a happy ending here. And he said these words. God will not provide a lamb. It says, God will provide himself a lamb. He was walking up that mountain knowing he was going to be obedient. He's going to kill his son. He's going to give his son to the Lord on that. And what God did? God took that obedience. You talk about a happy ending. I mean, do you ever wonder how far that knife was from his throat when that angel stopped him? Do you think maybe he could feel the coldness of that blade on his throat? Oftentimes we think, I don't know why, but I always thought, you know, he's up there with a dagger going to stab him in the heart. But if you're going to do a sacrifice, you wouldn't do that. You'd cut the animal's throat. Could you imagine as he put that blade? It had to be close enough that God said, if I don't stop this, he's going to kill him. And he stops it. Could you just see over there untying those ropes? And Isaac going, Dad, that was close. Man, I thought you were going to do that. And he says, son, I would have. I had no choice. Can you imagine him hugging and crying? And then they walk over there to that bush and they get their happy ending. It's a ram stuck in that thicket. And they put it on that altar. And they both walk out of that. So with all of those stories, Hannah with not having children, she's stuck in a double marriage, something she didn't necessarily choose. She's barren, didn't choose that. And what did she do? She went to God and she prayed in such a way that she said, I believe you can do this. I believe that in this mess you can have a happy ending. And may I tell you, whatever it is, the circumstance might not change the way you would want it to change, but I promise you, you put God in the middle of that story, it'll have a happy ending.
Man.
Because that's who he is, right? He thrives in that. He thrives in taking broken things and making them better. Do you know you can break it more than once? And his grace will still fix it. That's pretty amazing, right? So in the days that we live, the world, they're trying to rationalize everything. They're trying to be here forever. They got different goals than we got. And you know, guys, all you have to do is just take that to the Lord and believe. When that woman was sick and she went to every doctor. Now, I understand that not everybody gets healed, but everybody gets a happy ending. It's God, the master weaver, that's painting the picture. And when he's done with it, you'll be okay with it. His hands are in our life if you'll let him. He'll guide you and he'll comfort you and he'll support you. My problem's not him, it's me. It's me holding on to my story. What about Hannah? Do you know when she prayed, they honestly thought she was drunk? When's the last time we ever got alone with God and prayed like that? And just held on to our story? You don't think you crying over your story isn't going to get the attention of the God in heaven? You can pray, God, I'm lonely. God, I'm hurt. God, I don't know what to do with my future. I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what kind of job to pursue. I'm stuck down here, and I don't want to make a mistake. God, please, please, just take my story. But not only did she pray, it wasn't just a 2-second up you go. If it had taken all day, she's going to stay there. She didn't get up until she knew God had that story. And she had peace in her mind. And she did the right thing. She went to God with the problem. You know what her husband said? Well, yeah, I have 2 wives, but I love you more than I love the other one. Isn't that enough? Can't you just be happy with that? I'm sorry you can't have kids, but I love you more than I do her. And she said, the problem is, that's not going to fix my story. And she took that to the Lord. And you know what she said to the Lord? She said, hey, God, I'll partner with you. on this happy ending. I'll give them to you. You can have them back. I just want to hold them for a little bit. I've never had a baby. I just want to hold them for a little bit. You can have them. All yours. And you know, God in heaven is not selfish or uncaring. He gave her lots of kids. Yep, she had to drop that one off. Turned out to be a pretty good kid. Samuel's another guy I can't find a whole lot of dirt on in the Bible. Turned out okay. Had a happy ending. And as the world becomes more uncertain, we're not like them. It's not science that I'm relying on. It's not this economy or who's president. I got a God that can do anything. And he loves me. And he can do something with my story if I'll just let him. And I know, guys, probably the most painful thing in the world is have to go to God after you let him down. But he's somebody that understands. He's not okay with it because it hurts you. But don't you think if him and Eve can become friends again, after plunging the whole world into sin, Sean, maybe? Not maybe. For sure. He still loves you too. And he will always, always be on the forgiving end of anybody that's asking it. Without a doubt. Isn't it beautiful to look in there and catch a little glimpse of a renewed testimony, renewed reunion with Eve? It looks like that they were able to mend some broken fences. It wasn't God that had to mend them. It was Eve. And here she is. Had that relationship back with him and could say, hey, thank you. God didn't say, well, you're lucky I did that after what you did in the garden with the tree. Didn't say that. Just smiled at her and said, hey, Eve, my pleasure. I like making bad stories with happy endings. So, for us tonight, maybe there's just something that you can take to the Lord. It doesn't have to be a sin. It can be a hurt. It can be a disappointment. It could be loneliness, whatever. I mean, we're human beings. The story goes everywhere, right? You know, I mean, maybe I was just reading, and when I was preaching that thing for Sean, there was some missionary quotes, and one of them was this. The missionary said, I think it was Hudson Taylor said, I'm not afraid of failing. I'm afraid of succeeding at something that doesn't matter. Might just be somebody here that says, God, I don't know what to do with my life. Here you go. Make something happy out of it. I won't take my hands off of it. It's yours. You write it. And I'll be fine with it. May just simply be that. Whatever it is, there are still happy endings to be found in that book if you want one. If you're here and you're not saved, you can find a happy ending. If your heart's burdened because of sin, you can find a happy ending. If you need direction, you can find a happy ending. We can go preach the whole thing all over again. The question is, will we do that? Let's pray, and are we having a business meeting tonight? Or are we going to do it next Sunday? Or the following Sunday? Because next Sunday. Whenever you're ready, you just let us know. All right. Well, let's stand. And Brother Lloyd, would you close us in prayer tonight?